out, and the magic suddenly happens, that the meeting session is now being recorded, and we'll have a leanly represented as yet, but hopefully still useful run through of basically what was outlined in Steve Del Bianco's email several hours ago now to the list. We'll use that as a rough agenda. You have in front of you on the screens, if you're in the Adobe Connect room, the current, which is version 10.2 of our CCWG accountability stress test documentation. Before we dive into the body of the text and some of the edits between the last version, which you will have seen both the last circulated version 10.1, which was contributed into the frozen document that we all worked with recently, and in the main body text of our draft for public comment, there are a couple of other issues which Steve outlined in his email, and we'll cover those off as well. So, Steve, I think it might be best if I ask you to just briefly recap the stress test working party email, which I believe did go to the committee of the whole. I'm just checking that. Yes, it did. It went out about 8 hours ago, but just in case everyone hasn't committed it to memory as yet, if you'd like to take us through the high points and holidays of that, and then we'll get through our more normal work in today's call, that would be great. And obviously I should ask if there's anybody from a attendance point of view, my error, who is on the audio bridge but not in the Adobe Connect room. Just waiting briefly to see if anyone wants to identify themselves. Not hearing anybody. Brenda's confirmed that. None. Okay, Steve, we are who we are. Over to you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Can you hear me all right?
Absolutely perfect. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Everyone, the email that circulated last night has four to-do items for us. Maybe we get this call done quickly then. The first one is to take a look at some red text I flagged on two pages, 11 and 16, that perhaps needs to come out. The second is that our co-chair, Matthew Weil, sent some suggested edits, which are in blue underline on many pages. I think they're generally pretty good edits, but let's think of them as a group. The third item is that Matthew was asking us to consider adding a paragraph, a management summary. And then finally, Adam Peek with ICANN staff, I thought had a really neat idea to help manage the public comment process a little better, because people that read the stress test may say, oh, I've got one you didn't think of, an earthquake. And before they put that into the public comment and force us to add dozens more stress tests, Adam's idea is, let's do a do-it-yourself guide. Give people two or three sentences of explanation or guide as to how to do your own application of your contingency to the existing and proposed accountability mechanisms. And hopefully that might discourage some of the comments requesting us to add yet more stress tests in the public comments. So those are the four items on the email I sent last night that Cheryl and I think might be a decent agenda. Cheryl, does this sound okay to you and everyone else?
Absolutely. Let's just go for it.
Great. So if you go to page 11, you'll see a page 11 and page 16 of the document. I put in red some text that has been there for, my goodness, I guess 2 or 3 months, which is a proposed measure, and this first emerged in Frankfurt. A proposed measure that would be prescriptive. It would stop ICANN from exceeding its mission statement in the amended bylaws. If you remember, it was Malcolm Hutty who had wanted something that was very strong, and it would indicate that ICANN could not and should not. I know that we allow a reconsideration in an IRP, and the IRP uses their standard of review, the mission statement, and core values, And that kind of a review is different than a flat-out proscriptive measure against exceeding limited technical mission. But I didn't want to just take out this red text, because some might interpret that what we've done in the bylaws, the core values, maybe it amounts to that, a proscription. So listen, let's take a cue on that and see whether we should take out the red text or leave it in. It's on two pages, 11 and 16.
Don't be shy, people.
If you remember from the last version of the big document, full draft proposal, version 4, on page 29 of that document, it says, quote, this is in mission statement for ICANN. It says, ICANN shall not undertake any other mission not specifically authorized in these bylaws. So I would call that proscription, and it is in the bylaws. But what is it that would trigger that limited mission statement to come forward? I guess it would take a reconsideration or an IRP to challenge them. Jonathan, go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan Zook, for the record. I guess my inclination is that the review process is king here, rather than our attempt to predict the future and what it is that ICANN needs to be doing. I mean, silly examples like time zone database and things like that that come up suggest that we don't need this level of prescription and that the community review and review processes are really what we're after, more so than tying our own hands in the future.
Thank you, Jonathan. Would it, in the two sections where this red text appears, would it be, I'll propose an alternative. I could actually quote the line from the proposed mission statement, that ICANN shall not undertake any other mission not specifically authorized in these bylaws. And I could quote that as the standard of review that would be particularly instructive to the IRP or reconsideration. What do people think about that?
Jonathan, your hand's still up. Cheryl here. Is this a follow-up or a response?
Oh, sorry, old hand. I think that makes sense, Pete.
That way we don't make it seem as if it's another mechanism or power. It's simply clarifying that the two king powers we talked about can rely on specific language in the mission statement as their standard of review. Cheryl and others, no objection?
So, Steve, just to make sure everyone's clear what they're not objecting to, they're not objecting to the removal of the red text, which is currently shown on pages 11 and 16, and that new text is added, quoting the standard of review as per the bylaws.
Exactly. And it would be a new sentence right at the end of the one that quotes the standard of review in the amended mission and core values. It's really just giving an example of the kind of a statement we'll use to limit mission creep.
Terrific. So I'm personally very happy with that, and I'm giving you a great big green check mark. If anyone objects, speak now, or I would suggest holding your peace will be equivalent to the green check marks that I'm seeing from Pa and Jonathan and myself. Steve, I'm assuming you're happy with your own proposal. Okay, sounds like we have, if not unanimity, a good indication that that's the way to go. Okay, next, Steve.
Great, thanks, everyone. Why don't we move to the second item in the agenda? And here we want to whip through our stress test document, looking at Matthew Weil's suggested edits in blue, and take a cue on each one to see whether we want to accept the edits. First one appears on the bottom of page 3, if you're following along in the Adobe, with respect to the stress test on corruption.
That's stress test number 9, everybody.
It is.
Stress test number 9. probably best you read it to the record, Steve.
Sure. Oh,
Jonathan's just agreeing, really. So that's an easy sell.
Yeah, right at the bottom of the column under proposed measures, in the incident of major corruption or fraud, Matthews wrote, finally, if the board was involved, which I think it should be, were involved, or if the board did not act decisively in preventing corruption or fraud, for instance, by reinforcing internal controls or policies, a proposed measure empowers the community to remove individual directors or recall the entire board. So on most of these stress tests, spilling the board, the nuclear option, is certainly a potential accountability measure. We've never regarded it as a very usable one. It's sort of a last resort nuclear option. So I don't believe that we as a team wrote it into every single one of the 26 stress tests. That was a stylistic choice. I guess we could have done so. Matthew was trying to bring it up specifically here. Perhaps he felt that we needed more mitigation on stress test number 9 on page 3. I don't know for sure. I have no objection personally to adding his statement. Does anyone, maybe we should do it this way, Cheryl. Does anyone have an objection to the statement or a correction?
So first of all, Cheryl, off the record, if you just want to, anyone who has any proposed modifications to the text that you see added in blue on the bottom of page 3 with stress test 9, now is the time to propose that. I've got typing coming in from Average. He may have new text. You can just speak up, Avery, if you're not having problems with audio. Avery says if we're going to include spilling the board, we might as well include the long arm of the law.
It's true, true, Avery.
That is very true. Jonathan is counter-typing. Oh, dear. I'm going to spend this... That in the middle, his response to that is that's the middle column. Alright, so the proposal as she is writ at the moment, in column 3, bottom of page 3, as Steve has just outlined, what you're being currently asked is if you have no other additional text, then indicate if you have an objection. You can put up a green tick if you want to. I'm certainly going to be very affirmative. But if you need to note your objection to that text, do so now. If not, that text will become accepted. That's the blue text, bottom of page 3, stress test 9. I see Rudy not objecting. And Jonathan are typing. Just wait to see what they say. Jonathan's agreeing. And Pa's agreeing in text that that's fine. It looks like that one is also sold. I think we move to the bottom of page 5 next, don't we, Steve?
Yeah, we have 5 of these to get through, so let's move briskly. Bottom of page 5, on the conclusion line, and this is the stress test number 11 regarding compromise of credentials. At the bottom of that column, Matthew believes that we should say what we had already written was the words proposed measures in combination would be helpful to mitigate the scenario but not prevent it. You can never prevent being hacked. So he proposes adding the word proposed workstream one measures in combination would be helpful to mitigate but not prevent. And then he goes on to say Workstream 2 suggestions might provide preventive mitigation measures. And I don't think that makes sense. You might say preventive measures, but not preventive mitigation, right?
One or other, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And he means preventive. Because as you know, in the column just above here, we had used Matthew's suggestions of annual external security audits for Workstream 2. You see the text that says suggestions for Workstream 2?
Yep.
I believe that's what Matthew was referring to, and those were suggestions he had offered us. many weeks ago.
So we're talking about risk minimization here as an exercise. So let's first.
And the clarification is the distinction between things that are provided in Workstream 1 versus Workstream 2. And we don't do that very often on many of our stress tests, so I think it's probably productive to do it here.
I certainly agree with it in principle, Stu, Cheryl, for the record. But let's first of all ask if there's anyone who would propose any particular changes to that text. And I certainly think getting rid of either the word preventive or mitigation needs to happen. So I don't particularly care which goes.
I think we have to take mitigation out because the two items he's referring to in the text above are preventive.
Yep, okay then. So we've already got a minor edit there. So what we're going to call for Jonathan, you're suggesting that we use the term risk mitigation, is that what you're saying? Or Avery's also proposed further mitigation?
Folks, I mean, but mitigation is something you do after the fact.
Well, risk mitigation isn't after the fact. Preventative is might be too strongly worded. I mean, we could be completely splitting hairs here, and I apologize. But the Workstream 2 measures, I think the technical term for them would in fact be mitigation of risk. It's not mitigation of outcome, but mitigation of risk. And whereas preventing isn't.
Much grander.
Exclusive. That's all. Either one is fine.
I'm happy to go with risk mitigation measures.
Yeah, and Rudy saying remove preventative does not make sense to me. We're suggesting, Rudy, that we can't actually prevent. All we can do is minimize the likelihood of. And a currently proposed sentence would read, Workstream 2 suggestions might provide some risk mitigation measures. I'd like to see what Avery's contributing in typing. She's okay with, Rudy's okay with risk mitigation, that's great. All right, looks like we've got some modified text. Is there anyone who objects to that modified text? Avery's checking the dictionary. And she agrees with Jonathan and certainly my language that mitigation can be anticipatory. So we even have the blessings of an authoritative dictionary. I don't know whether we need to reference which one Avery's using, but I'm sure it's an authoritative term. Jonathan, anyone who leaves their green check mark up probably can't be believed just automatically. So, next page, thanks.
Go to page 7. It's risk. It's stress test number 21. And Matthew is aware of the reality here, is that neither CWG or CCWG are doing anything to help a CCTLD manager fight a redelegation, a revocation, or reassignment. And we're acknowledging it in plain text. I put that, I put text in this page 7 indicating that the CWG recommends not including, and that is a quote from the CWG paper. I guess I should put the second set of quote marks. He moved them. What Matthew inserted was another sentence from the CWG. And as such, I have no objection there. It's really meant to show that it's not the last word on this topic. There's an expectation that an appeal mechanism developed by the CCTLD community through the appropriate processes might be what provides relief in this case. So it maybe foreshadows that there could be more to come. And then Matthew picks up on that in the very last line of this column under the conclusions, where he adds, comma, until the appropriate processes develop the appropriate mechanisms, an appropriate mechanism. So I'll fix a couple of his grammatical glitches, but are there any objections to these additions?
Steve, Cheryl here. I'd actually leave it the appropriate mechanisms rather than an. It may be a suite or a set of mechanisms. So let's not limit ourselves to the singular or the plural in the last part.
I'll just say develop appropriate mechanisms. How about that?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
So with that minor tweak, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to ask for anyone else who wants to make any suggestions to that text. That's our text on page 7. There's two sections of text, both in blue in your document on the Adobe Connect room. Certainly I'm very comfortable with that now. To quote the framework of interpretation conversations, it gives depth and colour to it. Did I hear your voice, Avery?
Nope.
Okay, everyone, let's move to page 12. One more edit here from that to page 12, stress test 13. This is the idea that one or more stakeholders are given the ability to paralyze ICANN through repetitive, vexatious IRP and reconsideration requests, maybe even document disclosure requests. We had noted in our conclusion that proposed measures may need to distinguish community powers from those available to individuals. And I would suggest we did not do that. We didn't make a distinction. I brought this up on yesterday's broad CCWG call that wasn't entirely clear in the document that standing is available to the community. The lawyers chimed in on the chat to say that it is, but I believe they'll be making it a bit more explicit that the community of members would itself have standing to file an IRP or reconsideration. But by making IRP and reconsideration so much easier and accessible, having ICANN spending its money on a standing panel, we're going to reduce the cost and reduce the barriers to filing IRPs and reconsiderations. Does that lead to a situation where we get somebody who doesn't like a change being able to paralyze things? So Machu is adding a sentence saying, it should be noted that the proposed recommendations include the ability for the panels to dismiss frivolous claims and attempt to limit the duration of appeals or reconsiderations. And that's part of what Becky Burr's group had put forth on the reconsideration and IRP. Maybe the word appeal or reconsideration, is that technically true, or should it say reconsiderations and IRPs? Is the word appeal really belong there? Do we have an appeal someplace in our document?
I know. Anyone? Sam Eisner's typing, and I'm sure she'll clear us up on that. Reconsideration and IRPs is the text she's proposing. That's good. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. Okay, so we now have some modified text to consider in that top box under stress test 13 on the third column. Do you want to deal with that before you go to the conclusion section, Steve? And I know Sam's got her hand up.
Go ahead, Sam.
Hi, this is Sam. And it's not directly about the edit that we just made, but I think that the concern I was raising on yesterday's call that I don't yet have language for goes to this one, too, because you can paralyze ICANN in many ways. And so it's the issue of I was specifically referring to yesterday the individual member rights versus the collective rights that are being associated. So I was hoping to see some information from the attorneys just to harden some language. I'll be on the legal sub-team call later to see if I can get a little bit more specific information from them about a couple of areas that I had some concern. And then once that's completed, I might be providing some that's where the additional language would come from. I think we should consider it in this one as well as in the general capture.
Sure.
Sam, thank you for that. And we had the CERN yesterday on this particular one. Do you believe that it's even conceivable that we'll end up restricting an aggrieved individual's rights for reconsideration or IRP versus the collective?
No, if there's an individual that believes that they're impacted in a way that that they can bring an IRP or reconsideration request, I don't think that you can constrict it beyond the words that Matthew pointed out. You know, the internal building of requirements for checking for frivolous or vexatious uses of the system.
There was one other suggestion in the text just above the blue, which we wrote 2 months ago. I'll give you folks a minute to read that. It says, the standard of review may need to be adjusted based on whether the community or an individual sought the review/redress. I don't think that ever happened. Is that a candidate for removal as well? This is the black text just above Matthew's blue.
Avery's got a green check mark there. I'm more hesitant to remove that until Sam is in a position to introduce some of the language that she's hoping to get out of the legal counsel.
So my sense, Cheryl, is that specific issues about the length, about the paragraph that Steve pointed out won't be there. Anything I get from the attorneys won't address that concern, because I think he's right that we have not identified different standards of review for if it's an individual exercising or an individual coming for something that it or he or she believes to be a specific infringement or a material effect on them versus the communities coming together to identify a material effect on the community. We don't have the class. And so I don't know if that's something we want to build in as a future text, because we did that a little bit with Matthew's edits on the previous one, but it's not something that exists today or would change in the next 4 hours.
Avery?
Yeah, hi. Avery speaking. I obviously did not take on this earlier, but I'm a late arrival to this whole group. I would have a problem with us creating different standards or restricting one versus the other. If anything, you know, we may want to say that Workstream 2 wants to review this as time goes on and see if there are needs, but I certainly would not recommend putting in any in the Workstream 1 type of work. Thanks.
Okay. So, Steve, what I'm hearing here is at least two separate things. First of all, I'm not hearing any rejection of the text in blue, the editorial text we started with in column 3, page 12 for stress test 13, which is noting that the proposed recommendation of the CCWG include the ability for panelists to dismiss frivolous claims, etc., noting that that language has changed now to say reconsideration and IRPs. But I am hearing that there may very well be an argument to remove that sentence immediately before that, which was previously accepted text, based on what Avery has just said and that Sam has outlined. So if we remove that, and let me know if you don't think we should remove that, that a Workstream 2 sentence would be beneficial to add in that column. That's my current take on where we are now, Steve. And I see, Avery, your hand's still up. Did you want to respond to...
Yeah, I put it up again. Thanks. This is Avery. You may just want to change that sentence to the standards of review may need to be, you know, be examined in Workstream 2 based on usage, you know, and just leave it at that.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to do it, so you don't have to actually remove; you could just modify. Thanks.
Thanks for that, Avery. We would, however, need to reposition it, I would think, to keep in the context that we'd had previously.
Okay.
So we would then reposition it, talking about Workstream 2 as the last thing. Steve, back to you.
Yeah, at some point weeks ago, we would construct our stress tests, and if they indicated that we needed to add or improve the measures, we would quickly inform our colleagues. And if you recall, there are at least two items that are in the recommendations because the stress test suggested that we needed them, stress test 18 and stress test 17. In this case, it's probably better to remove the sentence that says the standards of review may need to be adjusted. We were referring to the adjustment of the text that would show up in Workstream 1. We weren't referring to sort of downstream adjustments, which downstream adjustments are true for all of the mechanisms that are being proposed. The IRP, the reconsideration, spilling the board, blocking the bylaws, blocking the budget, blocking a strat plan. It goes almost without saying that after they're implemented, yes, they could be changed. We're not, it's probably not necessary to have that sentence anymore because our colleagues over in the IRP reconsideration team are not, in the next 4 hours, as Sam said, are not going to create two different standards of review. So I would go with Aubrey's original suggestion to take that sentence out and let it flow from where we have raised a concern. That starts with however and ends with their ability to block implementation of policies and decisions, and then flow right away to Matthew's sentence that if, in fact, it's frivolous claim that we do have IRP and reconsideration powers to dump a claim if it's frivolous. But, I mean, it's, I don't think we should start heading down the path of anticipating flaws in what we've done with an eye towards Workstream 2 adjustment. It wouldn't just be Workstream 2 adjustment. It literally would be forever that if something's not working, the community has the ability to provoke changes. How does everyone feel about that? We drop the standards of review sentence and just bring Matthew's point right up against where we raise the concern. So we raise the concern and we mitigate it to some extent.
So Jonathan's agreeing, as is Per. Rudy's agreed.
All right.
Steve, unsurprisingly, has agreed with himself. I'm a little ambivalent as to whether or not I should push for a mention of Workstream 2 or not. This, I think the absence of it being mentioned here doesn't mean that it won't happen, so I'm probably okay to let that slip and not have a future work reference there.
So keep in mind that if you look at the end of the Cheryl, at the very end of the document we reviewed last night where Workstream 2 is described, the items in Workstream 2 are not dotting the I's and crossing the T's on Workstream 1 measures. Instead, they are new measures that we have acquired the powers to do. The transparency and disclosure requests, enhancing the ombudsman's role.
Yes. But in terms of our stress tests, with the removal of the standard of review commentary, a balancing point may have been mentioning that we could have future work done under Workstream 2. But I will begrudgingly go along with not having it there. That's fine. What I did want to ask, however, is I note Sam and others use language frequently which has frivolous and vexatious as terms that are coupled. And I note that we only have frivolous mentioned in the material edits. So I just wanted to, before we finalise that text and the removal of the sentence above, ask, and I suppose specifically ask Sam, should we be adding vexatious into that sentence or not?
Let's look at the actual proposal that we reviewed last night in version 4 and see what words they used. Because at this point we're being descriptive of things that we're proposing as opposed to normative about what they should do.
I assume you had that in front of you somewhere, do you, Stu?
Somewhere in this 98-page document.
Because I got to tell you, I don't.
I agree with Steve that we take it to the language that's within the proposal. Or
so whatever it actually says.
Yeah, I just like to say the word vexation, so I just use it whenever it's appropriate.
Oh, okay. So it's a favorite word of Sam's. Okay, but I must say you're not the only one who tends to, as Avery points out, frivolous and vexatious are very different things. And I often hear them coupled together in this sort of sentence, So let's agree to say exactly whatever it says in version 4 of the master document, but perhaps note for our future edification that there may be the wonderful opportunity to use the term vexatious again in some future point in time. Avery's just typing. We'll wait to see what she's... Nope, she stopped typing. Yes, here we are. The dictionary... She's got the dictionary to hand here. The dictionary says that vexatious is a trending word for definition searches. Well, that's interesting. I'm not sure that's helped me one little bit at all, Avery. Thanks for that. All right. We're not going to specifically add the term vexatious in. We will make sure that the language matches exactly what it says in version 4. And with that... seeing no objections, and you've managed to twist my arm on the Workstream 2 commentary, I think we need to then move to the conclusion, part C, column 3, on that same page, Steve.
Yes, and before we move to that, I've been running through the discussion of IRP, and I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
So if we go through the document and it isn't in there at all, we need to take that out. In other words, Matthew's text won't even survive if we can't find it in the document.
Mm-hmm.
Use some help with this. You all have the same document. It begins on pages 40 through 44. The way this is organized, it's nearly impossible to find what you're looking at.
Sure is. And I'm using open source, so doing a word find is even more complicated.
So Alice has identified some text that include. It says, panel may provide for loser pay / fee shifting in the event it identifies a challenge or defense as frivolous or abusive.
Fantastic. What page? Alice, what page is that on?
I'm actually using one of my keen versions. It's in the IRP under accessibility and cost.
Okay. Main thing is that's the language that's there. That's the language we should ensure is reflected in modifying Matthew's edits.
Right, so we'll only use the words they use, regardless of how trendy it is to say vexatious. I got a chance to say that again.
We could put this to the bingo card for future ICANN meetings and see if we can get vexatious into the bingo.
Alice, is it also under reconsideration?
Let me check. Yes, it is in the standard of review paragraph.
Yes,
it is.
All right, Steve, looks like we're sold with that part. We can move on to conclusion.
All right, so frivolous and abusive will be the words, and we'll quote from both. Now, this is the last inline edit from Matthew. For the conclusion of this column, we were being normative by saying proposed measures, and by that we mean Workstream 1, may need to distinguish community from those available to individuals. And I agree with Sam. The likelihood of that happening in the next several hours to the legal team is zero. So we need another way to conclude whether or not the proposed measures are you know, adequate to give the community the accountability we need, as well as, you know, a significant improvement over existing measures. So Mathieu notes in a comment, it's not in the text in front of you because he did it as a comment, where he said, he suggested changing our conclusion to this: proposed measures have both positive as well as negative impacts on the mitigation of the scenario. I don't love that. I don't love that. It would be better if we could state a conclusion here as to whether we believe the proposed measures improve the community accountability and whether they leave open a concern that hasn't been addressed. So what? Let's open a queue to take on board. What should we have in the conclusion? Bottom right-hand cell. Sam, I see your hand up.
So I think I'm supportive of maybe tweaking Matthew's language a bit. He captures a really important concept, but then there's also there might also be the need to put in there that, you know, that it's not fully in support of accountability if you take too many measures to limit individuals' ability to access. So do I think that we took every opportunity in order to discourage people from using the accountability measures this way? Probably not. We don't have in there issues of some sort of penalty or sanction, whether that be a penalty in monetary notes or otherwise. We could have, there may be other ways that we could help address this, but also you have to balance any of those against the goal, right? If your goal is to create accountability mechanisms, if you at the same time limit them, you might not be achieving your goal. So I don't know if we'd want to have some sort of a language like that as well tied into Matthew's language, that while there are places where this has tried to be addressed, this concern is trying to be addressed through the recommendations, this was one where placing a lot of restrictions over it would have actually been counter to the work of the CCWG. One of the things that we've seen throughout all of the stress tests is we've never agreed that full mitigation, or we've all agreed that in most cases full mitigation is not possible. And this is one where the lack of possibility of it is probably a good thing for the fact that we're not disempowering all the powers that we're trying to create.
Okay, Sam. So Cheryl here. So if we were to take the comment text whereby Mathieu has said proposed measures have, and it should probably be limited by may have, both positive as well as negative impacts on the mitigation of this scenario.
Cheryl, I've proposed new text in the chat. What do you think of that?
Okay. All right, so Steve's text in the chat is as follows. Proposed measures would reduce risk by supermajority requirements and by dismissal of frivolous or abusive recommendation requests and IRPs.
It's simply a factual statement of what we believe Workstream 1 has in it to reduce the risks, even though it's not a particularly conclusory. It's not a conclusory statement to suggest that they are adequate.
Oh, and we're not
really
positive or negative as such, but simply stating that it is what it is. Sam, what are you going to say? When you're just going to keep us wondering what you're going to type? You could just speak up.
Yeah, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning for Sam, so she...
Yeah, the brain's quite behind where it should be normally. We Should we add in a sentence possibly that individual usage of the accountability mechanism should be are expected to be tempered by those acting in accountability to the community as a whole?
I don't know what that means, though. I mean, an individual can't do anything with a supermajority, but the individual is going to have standing.
An individual will have standing, but people's invocation of their standing, we expect people to use them in a way that's accountable to the community.
I know, but how do you enforce that expectation?
Yeah, there's no enforceability of that other than getting them to the frivolous or abusive.
Which is why I have it in there.
Yeah, I like the language that you proposed to me, but I also support the sense from Mathieu that we need to forecast that there's a bit of this that's unsolvable. There is the positive and the negative.
Well, could we, in fact, Cheryl here, could we, in fact, use some of that suggested language from Mathieu as a follow-on to your far more clear and explanatory sentence, Steve? And I note Steve's typing, so he's undoubtedly doing exactly that. So what I was suggesting is where your proposed language finishes abusive recommendation requests and IRPs have a follow-on, so comma, and as such may have positive as well as negative impacts on this specific scenario or on this scenario. Something along those lines. Now I've got Sam and Steve typing. Guys, there are not that many that you can't just speak up.
So I don't think that the positive and negative impacts come from the proposed measures. I think there's
okay.
a period after Steve's,
sure.
Steve's sentence, and then the continuation of Matthew's thought.
Okay. Well, I'm fine with that because, as Steve knows, having worked with me a bit recently, I don't use the full stop at even when it is clearly supposed to be there. It's almost as if it's, you know, a grammatical anathema to me. So putting full stop
there. A new proposal in the chat. And I took out supermajority. It's in, Rudy, to your point, supermajority is about the community invoking its standing, and supermajority is required for the community to block a budget, block a bylaws, or veto a strat plan. That's in the first paragraph in this column. I'll leave that out because I know really what we're really talking about is the review and redress mechanisms.
Yeah.
So what if we capture the fact that proposed measures could increase the risk of individuals paralyzing ICANN processes, which is mitigated by dismissal of frivolous or abusive reconsiderations and IRPs.
All right.
So that's a statement of fact we're concluding.
But Avery has a hand up, so maybe deal with Avery's clarifier first.
Yeah, this is Avery saying, I guess I want to quibble about the word paralyzing. It could overload them. It could interfere with them. But paralyzing seems strong.
It's in the stress test, Aubrey. It's in column one. It was
okay.
The word proposed by whoever it was that proposed the stress test. That's the only reason I used it.
Right. Okay. I understand that. And in general, one may worry about paralyzing. But I guess I'm slightly stressed at the use of if we let individuals do too much, then they are going to paralyze the system notion. And so in what we put in the response, I would recommend that we use something a little less extreme, like, you know, there's also a possibility that they are going to overload it without being frivolous and vexatious,
yes.
And we'll find out about that later. And it won't paralyze it. It'll just move slow.
Avery, can we replace in Steve's most recent language The term paralyzing, which if we were to use anyway, should be in quotes because that's how it is even in the stress test 13, remove paralyzing in that language and simply put in the term like affect. So affect ICANN's processes.
Affect is even softer than overloading, and I'm fine with that.
Steve, would you take that as a friendly amendment?
The word effectively paralyze or affect?
No,
tell me they...
get just affect. Take paralyze out of the conclusion language. Because I find myself... and just...
So I think that effect is too broad because the purpose of it is the purpose of of getting accountability mechanisms is to have an effect on ICANN processes. So there's
right.
people will
come up with a word that isn't as negatively laden as paralysis.
What about block?
That's why I was suggesting overload.
Exactly how I'm feeling right now as I'm trying to get in my second call.
I tried the word block in the text, in the chat. What does that one look like?
Again, that's pretty negatively,
I keep going back to a word like overload, and pardon me for keep jumping in, but I'm the only one with my hand up, is that what we're worried about is the processes. We're not, you know, and so what happens with the process is it gets overloaded or gets bogged down. But you're looking at processes, and that's why a neutral term, you know, it's not bad or good to be overloaded. It's just an issue that has to be solved.
Yeah. And do you object to overload?
So I've never seen this one limited only to the issue of overload. There is the ability, Aubrey's right that there is the ability to overload the processes and to turn back to the pejorative term and to quote-unquote paralyze ICANN because there are so many uses of the processes going on. But there is a separate issue, which is there are ways today and there will be ways still to use the accountability measures to actually keep ICANN from doing work, not just to keep them so busy on the accountability work, but to use them in a way that you stop ICANN from moving forward on something. So we see some of the, well, if we just take it to a level of example, within the new GTLD program, there are some applicants within the new GTLD program who say that other applicants within the new GTLD program are using the existing accountability measures today solely to delay an inevitable resolution of a contention set. That is a paralyzation of an ICANN process. When you have to stop action on something in order to allow the process to take place, right? We're not arguing that it's inappropriate in an accountability mechanism to stop action on the thing that is the basis of it, but continued usage or coming back and after there's a resolution of one and coming back on another, there is a way to actually paralyze the business and not just overload the business.
So that being said, okay, I see Avery's hand back up in response. How about we to and fro between you just briefly? But, Sam, I'm going to ask to see whether you can come up with a word that is perhaps less laden and, in fact, less limiting and specific as the term paralyzed, and one that is more in keeping with what you just outlined in terms of overload, and go back to Avery. Avery?
Yeah. I have a problem with that because normally those expressions, oh, they're just stopping it from going forward, are made by the opponents of somebody that wants something else to happen. And so to accuse those people who are fighting their own battles, both sides are litigants in this process, even if only one of them is in the process against ICANN. To call that an ill that is trying to paralyze ICANN and its processes is still problematic for me. Perhaps you want a word like interfere, and interfere can, you know, interference in an electrical sense is also neither positive nor negative. It just interferes. I don't know, but I'm really resistant of capturing the mania of the money boys in the GTLD process,
yep,
that things aren't going fast enough for them to reap their riches. To include that in this just bugs me.
Understood, Avery, and I note then that Sam has suggested improperly impede, and I'm predicting that you'll have a problem with the word improperly. But would you have a...
I think the word interfere is fine. I think even impede or interfere is fine. Improperly is a judgment to be made at the end of the day, and to, for us to presuppose that something might be improper just gives people a weapon to beat other people,
yep,
on top of the head with.
So back to you then, Sam. Can we live with just impede?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yep. Steve, I think we have a resolution. We take out overload and we put in impede.
So what I've got in the chat, everybody good with this?
Yep. I'm even going to put up a green tick as well. Well, that's an excellent conversation. That's exactly the sort of rigor and to and fro and fine-tuning that we need to do to get this right. And I want to thank you all for the time you've taken in this exercise to do that. But we do have a little more work to do on this call. And, Steve, some of the participants weren't here at the beginning of the call when we agreed to basically go through your email of some 8 or 9 hours ago now as the agenda. So they'll need to be brought up to speed on the intro language that's been suggested, as well as the second point, which was the DIY stress test exercise. And Steve, I'm having to join another call, so I'm not leaving this one. I'm in two calls at once, but I'm going to particularly rely on you now, Steve, to manage the queue as well. But that's not going to stop me jumping in, of course. So primarily, Steve,
yeah,
over to you for the rest of it.
Well, this call was scheduled for only 1 hour, and we are at the hour right now.
I thought it was 90 minutes.
On...
Sorry, it's in both, actually, looking at my calendar, it's both 60 and 90 minutes. So happy to stop here, but we do, as you say, have two more items to deal with. See how you go.
Yeah, the next two items will be very difficult to do without draft text in front of us. The next two items were that our co-chair, this was in the email I sent last night, would love us to write a little bit of a management summary for the conclusion we reached with stress tests. And that's not something we have tried to do before. We really set things up well and we do good details. We do conclusions on each and every stress test, but we don't have an overall conclusion as to what our stress tests have determined. Matthew's read of our work is that the stress tests demonstrate that Workstream 1 recommendations increase ICANN's accountability significantly, and they do provide adequate mitigation measures relative to what was the case without Workstream 1 recommendations. He would love us to confirm that some of the CWG proposals do provide a useful complement to CCWG measures, and we do not transform ICANN into a body that would be above the law, although I don't know where he got that. And I don't feel as if we've ever discussed that term before. I'm less comfortable embracing that. And then he notes that there is one stress test that we do not adequately address, and of course it's number 21, and that's just pointing out that it's one that isn't really covered. So without text in front of us, it would be highly unproductive for this group to try to wordsmith it. So I can take it on to draft a paragraph that picks up 3 of the 4 points that Matthew is asking for. And I suppose it would go at the beginning of the stress test table,
yes,
before you dive into the details. And I can circulate it by email to this group or you to react to on email rather than wait for next Wednesday's call. I'll take a cue on whether that makes sense.
Well, I'm going to jump in and say I think that makes perfect sense, especially if the rest of your calendars say it's a 60-minute, not a 90-minute call. Would you like to indicate if you don't think that's a good idea by putting up a red check? If not, that's how we'll proceed, I think, Steve. And then if you wanted to, just in a moment or two, because we did start the call a couple of minutes late, indicate what is meant by this DIY, and we'll need text put together for that as well.
Thanks, everyone. And the final option on here is another one that requires some text. But I wanted to get a temperature for this group as to whether we think it's a decent idea. So Adam Peake was anticipating. He's a particular fan of our stress tests. He thinks they're really neat. And every time he explains them to outsiders, he gets a great reaction. People really like the way we've done it. However, people can't resist the idea of saying, I think I've got another contingency you didn't think of. And when they do that, if the public comment period that ends in Buenos Aires finds the stress test team looking at 20 or 30 new scenarios and stress tests, I would predict that nearly all of them are addressed by the measures we have in the same way that what we've already covered. I mean, there's only so many ways you can cripple the organization with an external shock, financial, lawsuit, earthquake, whatever it is. And it's Adam's belief that we could potentially give people a do-it-yourself guide. A few sentences, a few paragraphs that describe that as you conceive of new risks and contingencies, internal and external, here's a guide to examine the existing and proposed measures to determine whether the community accountability is adequate under the proposed measures. And that would require us to put some prose in there that describes how one analyzes the proposed measures in the actual document to determine whether the community could right a wrong, the community could challenge a board decision, the community could block an expansion of scope. But making it clear that the community powers we're designing are incapable of preventing an external threat, like a hacker, an earthquake, a financial crisis. These are external, exogenous shocks that cannot be prevented. And most of our stress tests try to determine whether the community can hold management accountable for the way in which it reacts to it. So I guess I'm practicing on you the kind of draft text that would go into a DIY and asking whether there are feelings one way or the other about whether we should add such a section at the beginning of the stress tests. Take a cue on that.
Steve, Cheryl's going to jump in. I see Sam, but I did see Avery's hand up earlier as well. Just check that Avery's and her hand is back up again. There you go. Go ahead, one of you, Avery or Sam.
Okay, this is Sam. I'm really supportive of doing a section like this. I think that one of the questions that we'll find is that there are many in the community, and many people came to this process with specific concerns in mind. And, you know, we went through a lot of work with the entire CCWG and among this group to generalize the concerns and create the bigger buckets. And people still come to the process with, well, this is a concern I have. If this were to happen, how does this solve it? And so I really encourage giving people some tools of how to critically think that through. Because in the end, likely you're right, Steve, that it falls right back into one of the buckets that we've created. I think that, you know, if someone comes up with a stress test that we haven't identified, that's important to know too. Who knows? But I think empowering the community in a way that they can actually have some tools to take a specific concern that they have and bring it into the process that we've used would be really helpful. And one way to do that might be even to give an example of some of a specific concern that someone came to the table with, how that got translated into one of the buckets that we have, and then how we've analyzed it at the end. Because we have a lot of really general stuff here, but from the work we've done, we know where the specific issues came from.
No, thank you, Sam. Aubrey?
Yeah, this is Aubrey. In general, I too am supportive of putting such a DYI. However, there's two things. Just like the any wall we build, any measure we put in, creates new opportunities for abuse. And it's just in the nature of walls. Walls include the invitation to knock them down or go around them. So, too, this kind of thing would be a double-edged sword. It would not only help those of us who innocently saw a new risk and wanted to see, can this be handled? It would also assist those who wanted to find a way around the current mitigations and barriers to figure out how to walk around it. So it's a good thing to do, but it you know, opens up as many possibilities on both sides of the coin. Perhaps that shows something more about my deep set cynicism than anything. but just be aware, anything we put in is a two-edged sword. Thanks.
Life is full of those, Avery. Dear. Steve, it's
Cheryl, I'll tell you, I owe the group two paragraphs. One is the management summary for stress test, which is about the conclusions, and the other is the DIY. And what I'll probably do then is today I'll update to go to version 10.3 with all of the inline edits that we did earlier on the hour. And then in the email itself and in the document, I'll add these two paragraphs.
Yep.
And then, Cheryl, would it be okay for the stress test team to have to be able to reply by Thursday's call, or do we want to give more time? Thursday's call is the CCWG.
Yeah, look, let's try for the Thursday call of the CCWG, but that would then still only be allowing us to bring the rest of the committee of the whole up to speed on this these two additional pieces, which I think is fine. And I would still do a final sign-off on that language at next week's stress test call.
Cheryl, let me ask, if the co-chairs are thinking that Thursday's big call takes us to the point of having something to publish.
I tell you what, how about we get back to our work party with that once we ask them, and if we wrap up this call now, then we can get into our coordination call and answer that question.
All right. So we'll talk to everybody in another several hours, because the Thursday call is going to be at middle of the night for those of us here in the U.S. So I'll talk to you all again in several hours, and thanks for all the great feedback and the great ideas.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Call can now be concluded.